Hi, Catherine.
That's not her name, guys.
Don't call me that. Only select people can, because it's not my name. Hello, Teresa Marie.
That is my name.
That is your name.
Always has been, always will be. Even though I did try to change it. And Social Security Office said, nah, bitch.
Nah, bitch.
They said, oh, all of your friends changed their middle names after they got married to their maiden names. You can't. That's fine. It's no biggie.
It's no biggie at all.
It's no big deal. Anywho. We just spent the first like 3 minutes complaining about how busy we are, which is great. And if you guys are listening to this, which it'll be a week from now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you're listening to this and you live in central New Jersey, there are going to be signed book plates in Mile High later today, but... It's a week later, so don't take that advice.
Can't make promises.
Can't make any promises.
Can't keep.
Anywho, we're just kind of here today to bullshit around. Very quick tea spillage, and then we were going to do some fun little like book recs based on Taylor Swift songs.
I think we should end with that, because that sounds more fun.
Yeah. It definitely sounds more fun, and I literally only have one book to talk about. And last week, oh no, sorry. I keep having to be like, when is this being posted? This
I
is
know,
being
posted.
November 5th. No. Yeah, November 5th. If you're listening to this, it's November 5th. But we're recording this on October 28th. So wait. Yeah. I'm like, wait,
Are
am
you
I saying
okay?
that? No. I'm not well. Okay. So, 2 weeks ago on the podcast, I said I was reading Wild Reverence by Rebecca Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And I was enjoying it. So I have finished. And I think I'm in the minority. It wasn't bad by any means.
Okay.
It was boring at times. Okay. So, like... I thought Divine Rivals was, like, a perfect book, right? I thought it had great characters. I thought the story was great. I thought the writing was great. I was, like, very immersed in it. And then Ruthless Vows, I did not like. I did not vibe. I thought that the plot was not great. I thought that the pacing was bad. And I just didn't, like, love the storytelling. Her writing, beautiful. The overall story, didn't vibe with. So... I start Wild Reverence, which is a prequel to Divine Rivals. It's kind of about the gods.
Okay.
And the end of Wild Reverence is when the typewriters are created. Like, in the epilogue of Wild Reverence is That's when the cool. typewriters are created. And there's, like, a whole... You get the underlings, you get the skywards, you get the mortal realm. There's other doors that open up. Yeah, there's other doors that open up. So it follows the female main character. She is Matilda. She's born. Her mother is an underling. Her father is a skyward. And I guess when you're born as a god, you're taken to like this seer, and they like. Look into your future and determine like what your constellation is and like what your powers will end up being. So Matilda is given 6 stars, which is kind of like a mid-level like type of power, and she's going to be a herald, so she can go through each realm delivering news and things like that. Anyway, long story short, she ends up manifesting more power because there's like the flip side. So she's like, anyway, she's more powerful than you think. She falls in love with a human. There is like a war going on in the human realm, but there's all this like political like intrigue between like the underlings and the skywards and like all this like other bullshit. The writing's great. Like just like the way that Rebecca Ross writes is just like, so, I don't know. There's just like something about it. It's like very flowery, like kind of like poetic writing, but it's just like really great. I struggled again with the plot and the pacing. Like at times I was like, oh my God, I have to read another chapter. And then other times I was like, I'd read a chapter and just be like, I'm bored.
That's the worst.
So it had like a lot of ebbs and flows, but it didn't feel natural. And then I feel like she also just got bogged down like a little bit with things that like didn't really matter. Okay. And she didn't spend enough time. It's supposed to be this like epic love story. And I feel like she did not spend enough time building the love story and spent more time like pulling Matilda away from that central plot. Where I was like, I just don't, like, I understand why he's in love with her, but I don't really understand what, that, why she's in love with him.
Okay.
So, like, they meet when they're children in dreams, but she's not dreaming of him, he's dreaming of her. So he, okay. like, knows all about her. And one of the other gods starts, like, giving Matilda, I guess, like, accounts of the dreams that are happening. So Matilda can, like, see herself in this random person's dreams. But she's, like, not there physically. She's only there physically, like, in his dreams one time. Okay. And after that, they don't see each other for 13 years. So at that point, they're in, like, their mid-20s when they meet again. And they spend, like, it's, like, a week. And half the time, she's, like, off on other errands. And, like, yes, she's helping him, like, defend his people and like all this. I don't know. I just like, I didn't believe in her side of the love story. I was like, what is drawing you towards this person? Because you don't even know him and yeah. you haven't seen each other in 13 years. I don't know. I just like, I wish you would have spent more time there. Cause like at its core, that's what it is. It's a love story. And I didn't really believe in the love. So okay. like, it was fine. Like, like I said, like, I think her writing is really well. I think she struggles with storytelling.
Okay.
So like, if you love Divine Rivals and Ruthless Vows, then I think that you will love this book. I think that for me, Divine Rivals was kind of like out of the norm for my opinion on her storytelling.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like she okay. just had like a really good one-off.
Yeah. Cause now I'm like the last, like Ruthless Vows was a 3. This was a 3. Like, I finished it. I have not thought about it since. It was fine while I was in it, but, like, I'm not, I wouldn't not recommend it, but I also wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, like, you're not trying to go root cross. Right. Like, hey, if you like you just said, like, if you like yeah. these two, then maybe.
Yeah, like, I think if you real, I think most people like Divine Rivals. I think a lot of people did struggle with Ruthless Vows. So I think if you loved Ruthless Vows too, then I think you would love Wild Reverence. If you struggled with Ruthless Vows based on like the storytelling and the plot and like whatever, then I don't think you'll love Wild Reverence.
Gotcha. Noted.
Noted.
Is that your only book?
I mean, pretty much. I mean, wow. Yeah. I'm 50% into Sunrise on the Reaping, which is like just picking up. They're just about to enter the games. This is the Haymitch prequel for the Hunger Games. And I'm like very confused on like how this goes because I realize like we actually don't know anything about the games that Haymitch was in. But like Plutarch Heavensby is there. Like it's like Effie Trinket's like first games too. Like there's like a lot of people that are callbacks to like Katniss Everdeen Hunger Games.
Okay.
But I just like I'm like, oh, like what happened in these games? Because I know a lot of people are involved. Obviously, Haymitch wins. There's just like other. I think I know where it's gonna go. This is not a spoiler. This is a guess. But if you don't want to be spoiled at all, I would maybe just like skip ahead 20 seconds. Haymitch is like he has a girlfriend. Like they are like in love when he's reaped, and he's like kind of like illegally reaped, okay. which is a whole other thing. And he's working with Beatty and kind of Plutarch, which like we know in like the OG Hunger Games, he's like a big player in taking down the Capitol and like fucking with the 75th quarter quell or whatever it is. So he's like kind of like working with them. And like the plan is that they are going to like blow up the games. So I think that this happens. I think that it causes like a lot of people to die. And I think that they end up killing like his girlfriend in the districts because of it.
Okay.
And maybe like his family.
Gotcha.
Because otherwise I'm like, what? Well, like, I don't know. I just feel like, and then he's going to blame himself. Like, all these people died because of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously doesn't take down the Capitol. Obviously. And then I'm curious, like, has he been plotting with Plutarch and like everybody since then? And that's, they were just like waiting for the right person to be able to like be the face of the resistance. I don't know. So we'll see where it goes.
I don't remember a single thing from the Hunger Games.
Katie.
Teresa, I haven't read this book and these books in like decades.
Yeah, but the movies are always on.
I don't watch them. I think I watched them one time through when they first came out. And I was like, we're good.
Oh my God, no, we watch them whenever they're on.
Yeah, no. So I'm like, this is, you sound like you're speaking Star Wars language, honestly.
I wish. No. Right? Yeah, so it's so far so good.
Well, that's good. That's promising.
But like, I think that like the OG books are amazing. I actually wish that my plan was originally I was going to reread the first three books. And then I was going to read this one. And then it was that just like happen. Available like right away on Libby and I had nothing to read. And I'm like, all right. So like there's people that I was like, wait, do I know this person's name? Like I was like, oh, Astrid. And I was like, I think that's Katniss's mom's name, but I like, couldn't remember. So I had to like look it up. And I'm like, okay, that's Katniss's mom. And then like Burdock, Everdeen, I was like, that obviously has to be Katniss's dad, RIP. But yeah, there's some people that I was like, wait, should I know who this person is? Anyway, I'll report back eventually when I finish. But so far, so good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're enjoying such things.
Thank you.
I've been on a kick. So I've gone down a thriller path. And I'm having the greatest fucking time with it.
Yeah, you are.
So since we last spoke, I read We're All Guilty Here by Karen Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of myself because this does have some child things in it, but they're like teenagers. I thought this was so good. Obviously, there's alternating timelines, so you understand. Mm-hmm. So this is what was cool about this book. You started this book and it was a murder mystery. You go through the process of following the female main character who is a cop in this storyline, in this mm-hmm. part of the book. Her dad is the chief. It's her best friend's stepdaughter that goes missing along with another girl who's her best friend.
Okay.
You kind of learn about, obviously, like their whole past, who these girls were, what they were doing, what they were up to. You follow the cop throughout the whole trajectory of the storyline and they solve the murder.
Okay.
Or so you think. Not all ends are tied up, but they pretty much have their man. The book, then I'm like, well, we have like so much of the book left. I'm only at like 30 or 40%. Like, what's happening?
Right.
So he gets out of prison, the man they put away for these two murders. And it's because a rape kit was never processed 12 years ago. And it links to the guy that's serving time for the murder of these two girls. You can't be at two places at once.
Mm-hmm.
So now, of course, the day that he gets out and gets home, another girl goes missing. So they're like, well, what the fuck? Like, this is now aligning perfectly with the two girls who went missing 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Everything from, like, the way that she was taken, where, like, location, you name it, it is spot on. You also kind of get some glimmers into her personal life with her parents, her husband's finally out of the picture. He was a piece of shit.
Okay.
I'm not going to give full background about what his part was, how he kind of hindered some things that happened in the beginning part of the books so that led to her and her best friend stop being best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some stuff there, right? So she is divorced. She does have a son who's now a cop as well on her team. She's kind of being groomed, if you will, to take over as chief. Her dad is getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom has Alzheimer's and is like, one day away from being shipped off to a home. Like, literally, like, their next morning, they had planned to bring her to a home. And then you start to get, like, a little glimpse of an FBI agent somewhere mm-hmm. in California, and you don't know why. So all of a sudden, something happens, and this FBI agent's like, send me my last request before I retire. I'm going here kind of, like, on loan, right? Like, I'm retiring, so I'm not, like, full capacity here, but I need to go there. But you're like, now, why is she coming out of the woodwork? Like, what's happening? And then they go down the rabbit hole of solving this new murder. I think I was kind of like picking some things out, like who I thought it was. It was really good twisty turns. I thought it was a very well executed mystery. It's not too graphic. So like if you aren't into any type of like, I mean, who's into pedophilia? But like, you know what I mean? Like if you're like, can I handle this? If
right.
I can handle it, I swear you
yeah.
can. I gave this
yeah, if Katie can handle something like that, then it means it's not too descriptive or dark.
Correct. Yeah. Children now just really bother me. So I gave that 5 stars. I really loved it. The next I went into was Not Quite Dead Yet by Holly Jackson. I read all of Holly Jackson's backlog. If you haven't, I implore you. She doesn't have that big of a backlog, and she writes fantastic teen sleuth mysteries. Mm-hmm. They read more mature than your typical high schooler. This is about a girl who's solving her own murder that did not occur yet, and she's 28 years old. I guess, okay, I'll give you the beginning and I'm not going to say anything else, but she basically is like a trust fund kid. She kind of has like no direction. Her go-to saying is, I'll get to it later. Like she's got all this time in the world.
Yeah.
She's dropped out of everything that she's ever done. She's quit everything that she's ever tried. She's just kind of coasting. You do tend to find out that she's trying to follow in the footsteps of her dead older sister. So we'll leave you with that.
Okay.
She gets back to her parents' house. She hears someone behind her, doesn't get to turn around in time. She basically is bludgeoned and left for dead. She wakes up in the hospital. Everyone's kind of surrounding her, and she basically gets told she does have a kidney disease. So your blood's thinned, you've got some serious issues, but there's going to be a blood clot that does form in her, or an aneurysm, if you will, that will form in her brain because of the trauma. And it's right, they can't operate because it's right next to your artery. Like the doctors were like, we will not touch you. The chance of you dying on this table are at 90%.
Okay.
So you either have a week to live because this will 100%
burst,
form into an aneurysm and then burst and you will die. Or you can die basically on an operating table. So she basically is like, fuck it. I'm going to go solve who did this to me because they're about to be a murderer.
Yeah.
She obviously is like running her own investigation aside from the cops. But I love her because she's so like, she reminds me a lot of you, like dark sarcasm.
Yeah.
Basically just like, get the fuck out of my way. I'm going to die in a week. Like, I'm going to go solve this. Like, you owe me. I'm going to die in a couple of days. So you better just give me what I want. Like, she's just marching to the beat of her own drum. And she doesn't give a fuck who's in her way. Like, she's going to solve this murder. You turn up. Like, because, of course, when you start digging, more than just what you're looking for comes to surface. Like, a whole slew of shit comes out to light. I read it in 24 hours, and I literally sat there at 11 o'clock at night wanting to ping Holly Jackson and be like, I need you to answer me. Like, you will answer my DM. We need to speak. Like, I'm not well with that ending.
Is it, like, is that it? Like, one and done? Or is it, like, is it open end?
Okay. It's one and done.
Well, don't spoil it. I want to know, but, like, don't spoil it.
I don't think the ending's, like, really a spoiler, but I'm not going to say anything otherwise. This was such a fucking good read. I implore you, if you're going to listen to any, or you could listen to it. I sampled the audio. It was really good. I eyeball read it in 24 hours. So if there's anything you take away from my recommendations, there's two, and I'm going to speak about the next one. This was my first Raleigh Sager book, Home Before Dark. Mm-hmm. If you read or listened to Play Nice by Rachel, is it Harrison?
Could be.
It's Haunted House vibes. It is Haunted House vibes. So this family, again, there's alternating timelines.
Mm-hmm.
It's mom, dad, and child. The little girl Maggie's 5 years old.
Okay.
They basically are kind of just living paycheck to paycheck. They're in an apartment. They need a new house to move into. But of course, shit's tight. Budgets are not that big. Mm-hmm. They need somewhere to go. He's kind of like in this rut of writing. I think she's unemployed as a mom right now, but like looking to eventually get back to work. And then there's the 5-year-old to think about. They stumble across this big, beautiful, like named manor that is basically for sale as is with everything attached to it. So like, well, what's the fucking catch? Like the price is too good. Their realtor is kind of like, well, there is some rough history here. There was a dad who murdered his 5-year-old daughter. Also, her name was Katie. And I don't know if you guys ever realized this, but every single fucking girl that gets murdered in any type of paranormal movie or book, their name is Katie. And I have some bones to pick with some people because I don't know why.
They're also normally blonde as well.
Yes, which I find so fascinating. Like, are most Katies in the world blonde? Like, I don't get it. I have some digging to do and research to obtain and figure out because I'm very concerned. If you want additional examples, it's The Ring, and there's another like paranormal movie, 110%, that my sister used to watch. I can't think of the name right now. I think it might be just called, no, never mind. Anyway, so they move into the house. They buy the house. They say, fuck it. We're going to like get past this. Think about the present only and just live.
Yeah.
But weird shit starts to happen. Like bells start to ring when they're not supposed to. Doors open and close. And of course, the five-year-old little girl, Maggie, has three invisible friends. And she gets taken to a therapist because they're like, why does all of a sudden my daughter have like all these three imaginary friends? One's scaring the fucking shit out of her. She has no real life friends. We try to invite these little girls over that mm-hmm. live in a cottage on site because it's the caretaker's cottage. They come to help out, but like she's kind of mean to the girl sometimes. Maggie's begging her parents, saying like, please don't let them come over. The ghosts don't want them here. All this shit.
Yeah.
So you get it back and forth. The dad ends up writing a whole book about the haunting. So think Amityville Horror, if you will. Like, right? Like the family gets out. And they write a story about it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what her family did. So you get the whole book perspective as flashbacks.
Okay.
Dad telling the flashbacks. Like he's writing this. You're basically reading two books. So the middle part is like her mom, no one will tell her the truth. This girl, Maggie, grows up, obviously. She does house flipping for a living with her best friend. Her dad dies and leaves her whatever inheritance she has plus the house. On his deathbed, she begs her father. She's like, just give me the truth. Like, did you guys make all this up? Like, you've put me in a spotlight. Kids either like really didn't like me or they liked me because they were into like the horror shit. Like, I just, mm-hmm. I feel like I've been living a lie my whole life. And he's like, I'm sorry. And he dies. And she's like, well, that's not a fucking answer. She begs her mother. She's like, I don't want to speak about this. Please stop asking me. But so, of course, what does any sane adult, young adult do? They're going to go get the answers themselves.
Of course.
The dad leaves her the house. Her mom is about to go on vacation with her new husband. She's like, I just beg you, like, I will buy this manor off you. Do not go in that house. Just wait till we get back from Italy. And like, I will literally just give me the deed and I'll give you the money. Whatever, like, get it appraised and I will give you exactly what it appraises for. Like, but you will not go in that house. So of course, like when your mom tells you not to do something, you're going to go do it.
Yeah.
So she goes to the house with the intention of flipping it a little bit, kind of sprucing it up, if you will, to sell it. But of course, she also goes there with the intention of digging up the truth.
Of course.
That leads down a whole rabbit hole. There's another murder that occurs. There's a deeper history of what's happening. I like that there's paranormal woven into like real people also doing bad things.
Yeah.
It's not just ghosts killing people. Like there's something else amiss here. So you follow her through everything. And then what's kind of cool is as she's there, again, she does not believe in her father's book. She thinks it's completely fiction. She starts to uncover some truths, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything flips again in the end. I was like, this is fucking good. So again, if you're like, I want another really good paranormal romance,
yeah.
Or a paranormal book with like some real life stuff in it that gives, if you've read Play Nice, cool. It has very similar features of that book. If you haven't, just think Amityville Horror with out as much scariness involved, I guess.
Okay.
Haunted
house.
Haunted house. It is a haunted house with a really bad history. And I just finished What Lies in the Woods, which does kind of have like a little, it's little girls thinking they have magic, right? Like they're
and doing like what is creepier than little girls
doing magic?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
Honestly, this was very twisty turny. I gave it 4 stars. The last 3 books I just went over, I gave them all 5 stars. They were fantastic. This okay. I gave 4 stars. I almost feel really bad for the female main character. She has no one in her corner. Like, her dad's a piece of shit, drunk, alcoholic, never really present in her life. She's what I guess you could, like, she even called herself, she's like, I'm total trash. Like, I am that kid that lives in, like, the aww. Trailer down the road. The mayor's daughter became my best friend, and she's wealthy and rich. Like, everyone was like, why is she hanging out with her? She gets stabbed 17 times in the woods and basically is left to die. Her 2 friends like run out to the street to try to find help. They were 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Like very young. They think they catch the killer. He ends up being a serial killer. He's away. But they all have their own secrets. And as she goes back home, because one of the guy that quote unquote attempted to kill her ends up dying of cancer. So they're like, you know what? We all need to reconvene. We have some loose ends to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 3 girls, another dies. And it's, jeez, again, it's just like trying to like uncover all the hidden. But I like, what I like about these authors is there's not just like one stone flipped over and we have answers and that's it. You know what I mean? Like it's like multiple flips and then we finally get to the end result. So like you have to keep connecting the dots. because there's so much shit woven into each other.
Yeah.
One bad deed needs to be covered up. And because someone else saw it, like, they need to be cut. Like, it's just layer upon layer upon layer.
Yeah. So it's like snowballing.
And again, if you just, I just make my heart hurt for this girl. Like, she had literally, like, she ended up, like, going back to her dad's trailer. He's a hoarder. And she's like, I literally have no one besides your drunk ass. Like basically says that to him. She's like, I don't know who the fuck to turn to. And, like, you're it. And you're awful. So,
and you're the worst.
You're the fucking worst. again, very, like, dark, sarcastic humor.
Yeah.
It was really good. And I'm halfway through Jar of Hearts. I've been on a fucking kick.
Jar of Hearts.
And I'll shut up after this one, I swear. By Jennifer Hillier. This girl.
It's been, like, such a role reversal, like, lately.
I know.
Where I'm like, oh, I want to talk about.
Thrillers are fast-paced, and they're typically, most thrillers that you encounter are all under 400 pages. So you're talking, like, fast-paced, easy.
And you've been running a lot more.
Yes. Yes. I actually need to pick out my, I think for the marathon in two, I have a 20-miler this week, and that's it. That's my last longest run, so I'm going to have
just,
to.
Like, just a 20-miler, guys. Just a 20-miler.
So I'm going to finish Jar of Hearts if I don't before then. And I need to pick out another thriller, but I need a book for the marathon, and it's going to have to be a thriller because they at least keep you super entertained. I'm not saying that, like, romances can't or fantasies can't, but I do think with fantasies, you do get, like, ebbs and flows of a plot picking up and then drooping.
Mm-hmm.
Romance, too, I think, depending upon the book, I think it's a little bit more risky to pick a romance, if you will. So I'm going to go thriller. I have one girl I've been following on Instagram and TikTok, so I'm gonna, like, literally stalk her out to be like, what do I do next? I have a couple of ideas, though. But yeah, like, Jar of Hearts, also add that to your list. Like, this girl's serving 5 years. She helped her boyfriend dismember her best friend and hide her in the backwoods of her house.
What did she do to deserve it?
Right?
Yeah.
Well, apparently there was a little bit of a rivalry between the two girls. But again, like, I'm halfway through a book. You get, like, the beginning aspects where she gets arrested at her job. She's kind of, like, relieved this day finally came. Her dad still stands by her side. Her fiance obviously leaves her. You get the beginning aspects of her being in prison and, like, what happened to her. And then it's 5 years later and she's getting out. But so now we're getting, like, a little bit of a flashback about, like, the whole, I can't wait. It's almost giving Adnan Syed, like, vibes in terms of, like, the girl disappearing, being, like, cut up, like, they're all best friends. Like, it's kind of giving those similar vibes.
Like, Serial.
Vibes,
you know? Yeah. Like,
this, yeah. So if you've listened to the podcast Serial, it's giving similar vibes to what his story was with what this story is.
Okay.
It's really, really good so far. And I implore the audio aspect if you can do that.
Okay.
And I shut up.
Yeah. Thank God.
I know. I was talking too much.
No.
Christ.
Now you know how I feel. Where I'm like, did I say too much?
I gotta like shorten what I'm talking about, how I'm doing the synopsis is really quickly.
One thing we're never gonna be good at is
shutting up.
One, shutting up, and two, trying to describe the synopsis of a book.
No, if you haven't caught on yet, we're probably the worst people to ever ask what a book is
about. And, like, that's the whole point of this, and we're so bad at it. And also remembering character names, because don't ask us to do that either.
Don't ask. I'm not gonna be able to tell you.
Okay, so moving on, then we can start the T-Swifty.
I'm really proud of myself for this.
I am too. I honestly thought that you were going to get on and be like Googling as I started talking.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. I feel that.
Katie actually prepared. And I was like, oh, like, I'll just do 5 books. And then Katie's like, I have 8. So I was like, okay, I'll do 8. So we're going to do 8 songs. I'm actually curious if we picked any of the same songs.
Same.
And if we picked maybe, like, different songs, but the same book.
Okay, so I'm going to, yes. So with that, I am going to say I kind of went off of, I went through her whole, like, 8 songs. They are not from her, like, they're kind of scattered throughout her discovery. And I tried to pick out the songs that, like, are my favorite of all of her discovery. That's kind of, like, the route I decided to take. Not so much as, like, what can I pair up easier? So I made a list last night. I was like, what are, like, some of my favorite songs throughout all, like, from beginning to now?
Yeah.
Like, one each, if you will. I did obviously skip over some whatever tracks, and whatnot, like, because we don't have time for that. No. And I went off of that.
So I basically, I just, like, went like, oh, when I was reading this book, I distinctly remember thinking that this, like, song would work. And then I wanted to do, so, like, my original plan was to be like, these are my favorite Taylor Swift songs. These are books that go with it.
Okay.
And then I was just like, no, these are books that I specifically remember reading and being like, oh my God, this is this is like the theme song. And then I wanted to, I ended up using two of the new songs for books that I was like, oh, like I was just like looking at my like shelf and I was like, oh, that's so them. So I guess we can just go back and forth. So I can jump in. The first one I have is Mirror Ball.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite songs. And I have Happy Place. And I like distinctly remember when we were reading it. And I think that we did a podcast episode on it. And we both were like, Harriet is so Mirror Ball coded. And so is Wynn. Like the two of them are so like that song just like perfectly encompasses, I think, that entire book. And every issue that they had was that both of them, or like neither of them wanted to be a burden to anybody in their lives. They always want to be like the loyal friend and the one that's always there. And they don't want to show like when they're struggling, and like they're just like Harriet being the surgeon is to like make her parents happy. And when Wynn's dad dies and she's like, he's upset, so I can't be upset. And like they're circling each other in this way where like neither of them wants to be that burden for each other.
Yes.
And they just want to be this like perfect person because they think that if they're flawed, no one will love them.
Yes.
And I was just like, that's like the entire time I remember reading Happy Place, I was like, Mirror Ball, Mirror Ball, Mirror Ball. Like, and normally you have like one person in a relationship that's like that, or just like whatever.
They were both like that.
They were both like that. And that's why I think that I get so upset when people are like, neither of them communicated well, and they still have issues. But I'm like, no, like they are the same person, but like they're working towards being better. And like, I just always thought that those two were soulmates, which is why I think I love that book so much. But like that song just like purposely, like perfectly encompasses that entire book for me.
I like that one.
I
thought you were done.
No, I'm done.
Okay. So I'm going all the way back. So I distinctly remember where I was when our song released, and I decided right then and there, I knew I was going to love this girl for forever.
Yeah.
That was like my top favorite song for a very long time until like obviously more releases came out.
Yeah.
Rewind it back. Liz Tim 40.
Okay. Yeah.
It's their song, right? Like,
it is their song.
Sneaking out late, tapping on your window when you're on the phone and you talk. Because like, and your mama,
and your mama don't know.
Like 100%. Like they used to sneak out late. They would listen to like their tracks that they would come up with. Mm-hmm. Like, they needed the songs. They didn't have a song. So I just was like, the minute I was like, when we did this, I was like, I already know the first one I'm coming out with, and it's Rewind It Back.
No, that's actually perfect.
Right?
That's so perfect.
I thought that was a really good one.
That is a really good one. I mean, thanks. I was going to wait, but since we're talking this Tom 40.
I'm going to kind of go in some kind of weird order.
I'm just going to say whatever I feel like. But you said this Tom 40. So I picked Play Along, and I said that their theme song would be Wood because Kenny is like in like this like long-term relationship, and like she's like kind of shit on a little bit, and she never has an orgasm, like it's this whole thing, and she asks Isaiah for like help in that department.
Yeah.
And once they start fucking, like her eyes are just like open to this like new wonderful world
of a big
and she's able to like open up to him. Yeah, some big old, she gets stigmatized. And I was like, you know what, that's kind of funny. No, I would never be like reading a book and be like, oh yeah, Wood. Like, I think Wood's like a really funny, fun song. But like, I was like, that's so, because Isaiah's like a silly guy.
Yes.
Not that he's giving like Travis Kelce energy, but in like that, like she's a little bit more serious. She's been in like bad like relationships. And then she has this like sweet guy just kind of come into her life and give her that good D. And I was like, my girl Kenny, she deserved it. And Isaiah really provided.
All right. I'm going to do Left of Forever.
Okay.
Sparks Fly. And it's because of the flashbacks you get when they first became together. So like it was young love, right? Mm-hmm. Like hot, fast, fierce, like can't eat, can't sleep type of love.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, they had to rekindle. It's a second chance romance. But like, thinking back to like what you get about the two of them when they first started dating and becoming together, like it just gave me like the Sparks Fly song of like this, like new fun, like energetic romance that like you like, it's like excitement every time you're with each other. And if you're not, you're like, oh my God, I need to get back with this person immediately.
Yeah. And I can honestly see that like in like a cinematic way where it's
right?
You're getting like the flashbacks of them and like part of the Sparks Fly is playing. And then when they finally come together at the end, like another portion of the same song to like show that they're like meant to be.
Because even when they're not together, like they're still secretly harboring like such emotion and love for each other. They just don't want to, they're just like not working with like the communication.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. One that's like very on the nose. This is Me Trying. And I have like the Addicted books as like a whole, like Lauren and Lo, very much like This Is Me Trying coded, especially with like the addiction part of like the song. But I feel like anybody can kind of relate to that song in a way. It doesn't have to always be about addiction. You can kind of look at it from just like in general, like things that you struggle with as a person. It can be like mental health issues, or it can just be like any kind of struggle you have and like kind of trying to overcome those and like having setbacks and still like ending up in the exact same place that you were. So I think the series as a whole, it can encompass, but like specifically Lauren and Lo and like their struggles. And it's just like, it just sounds like it was coming from like their POV.
I love that.
And another, like, I mean, I could have just done like every song for Folklore. I only used two Folklore songs. Like that was like really hard for me.
I literally, when you were talking, I was like, Teresa's gonna go down a fucking rabbit hole, like Lover and Folklore.
Yeah, no, I didn't put any Lover songs. I know. I should have just, I know. I just picked random things and I was like, this makes sense.
It's so funny how like you went like the book route first and I went like
the song
route.
Let
me pick out my favorite songs and like pair them up. I love No Body, No Crime.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? So I picked two books. They're both kind of not as well known, but I figured I'd tap into two different recommendations. The Bewitching by, and I can't remember her name, and I apologize, but she wrote Mexican Gothic. Mm-hmm. Can't have a real crime if there's nobody. And everyone that's ever died just kind of disappeared. So everyone just thinks people ran off. There's a lot more paranormal to that aspect
of
that storyline. But again, I highly recommend, really good flashbacks for three different lines. Just, you know, just saying, I highly recommend. And then another Holly Jackson book, The Reappearance of Rachel Price. Again, this mom was thought to just run off and leave her daughter behind. And then all of a sudden, so like, no, again, cases nobody. Were kind of like nobody. So you can't really investigate too much. Everyone just, again, thought that she just ran off, but she does show up 10 years later. Ooh. And it's another, and then there's another body that just goes missing. So I really implore people to read The Reappearance of Rachel Price.
That yeah, is you've like, been talking about that since you read it.
It kind of gives me like, you know, in Verity, when she kind of gets these feelings that like she's being watched by and like, you just kind of see her, you're like, are you actually like comatose? Like, what's going on with you? Like, it kind of gives those vibes. Like, Rachel Price gives those vibes. Like, she's kind of creepy, spooky, like staring off. You don't like, do you trust her? Do you not trust her? She says some weird things and like weird things start happening. So you almost get like a little creeped out at night.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline is so good.
Okay. The next one I have is This Love.
Okay.
And I have a love letter to whiskey. Which I know you didn't read, but like the basically like the basis of Love Letter to Whiskey is they meet in high school. They are immediately drawn to each other. They both think that the other person does not like them. He starts dating her best friend. Years later, they're finally ready to get into a relationship. No, something happens. They're not. It's like 10 years of this like back and forth. And I just remember like you finally think they're getting together and then like something happens. And then like this other thing happens and then it's kind of like ripped away. And like the whole like part of the song, like this love is good, this love is bad, this love is alive back from the dead. Like these hands had to let it go free. And then this love came back to me. Like that is the song. Like all like he's engaged. Then he's calling off his wedding. Then she's engaged. She's married. Like it like everything, like it is the most angsty, tension filled book.
Okay.
And I've just always like thought of like this love as like, it's like right person, wrong time, like kind of over and over and over again until like the end when like you finally are like, fuck it, I'm letting it go. And then like that's when it like comes together.
Okay. The Man.
Okay.
Which isn't my favorite song. I just think it's like catchy at times. And I had one.
It's a really fun like pop song, but I wouldn't be like, wow, I can't believe she wrote this great lyrical song.
I will say out of all the, this is the one song I put on this list and I was like, it's not really like a, I wouldn't even call it a favorite, to be honest with you. It's a good bop for a second. But I feel like this book doesn't get talked about a lot. So I was like, this book came to mind immediately. When we, again, it was one of those, like, I had the Our Song and I was like, oh, I really want to pair something up with Carrie Soto is back.
Okay.
The man. So Carrie Soto is like a tennis prodigy and just fucking crushes it. Like, but she, again, if she was a man stepping on people to get to work, not stepping on people, but like no remorse for winning, kind mm-hmm. of rude, like, doesn't really care who she pushes out of her way. Like, that would be okay for a man to do. But is that you?
Yeah, no, it's my doorbell. You can keep going. It's
Who rings the doorbell nowadays?
Somebody trying to sell me something.
Probably.
It's like the solar guy.
In a female role, like, you're supposed to be charismatic and kind and polite. And Carrie's was like, no, fuck that. Like, I'm the best thing this tennis has ever seen. And I'm going to keep just truck it on. And with that mentality, I don't give a fuck who I hurt and who gets in my way. And I'm like, she's the man.
Yeah. Not to go off the rails really quick, though. That was, I know that I talked a lot of hate about The Favorites by Lane Fargo. And the one thing I liked about that book was the female main character. And I totally forget her name, but she, Katerina. She was like this badass ice dancer. She was a fucking bitch. But, like, she was a bitch because that was her craft. And, yeah. Like, everyone was like, oh, I didn't like her. She kind of deserved it. I was like, no, she's the only person in the book who deserved anything. Anywho. So the next song that I picked is The Prophecy.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's just because Tortured Poets came out at the same time that this book came out. But Tortured Poets came out first. And then I remember literally putting on my album after running to Barnes & Noble to get the book, sitting down and, like, having it playing in the background. So The Prophecy, I have, funny story, Emily Henry. Sorry that I have two Emily Henry books on here, but I'm a fan, okay?
I have an Emily Henry book, too.
Yeah, so funny story, Emily Henry, The Prophecy, just like Daphne in general, right? Like, again, she's somebody who's a little, like, she struggles, like, to, like, find her place in the world. And, like, she doesn't know, like, where she fits in. And she doesn't know if her friends are her friends or if they only like her because of her fiance. And then he obviously cheats on her with his, like, best girlfriend, and he breaks off the engagement, and he's going to marry this new girl instead now. And, like, she's kind of like, she's like, I moved here to be with him. Like, my friends now, like, aren't my friends. They were only friends with me because of him. Like, when's it going to be my time?
Yeah.
And she meets Miles, and Miles is, like, all about her for who she is. And he's changing the prophecy, you know?
I love it. I love that. Florida. I love this song. So this wasn't this book I'm going to give a recommendation for. It wasn't my cup of tea, but I do think if you like this type of read, I think, like, people who like these types of books love The Poisoner. So there you go. Like, I don't know, if you kind of like this gothic-y vibe, like, with a little bit of, like, taking out a guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, yes. I don't know. Like, there's, like, a little bit of death written into the storyline. And The Poisoner is our female main character who takes out bad men. So, and it definitely has a gothic vibe to it. So, again, I think if you look at the synopsis and, like, check some trigger warnings plus check some reviews, I think if that's your cup of tea, I think you're going to love it.
Okay. Next up, I was going to maybe save, you know what? No. Okay. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? I was going to be like,
our first crossover.
The Mindfuck series?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's very Lana-coded.
It is very Lana-coded. I like that.
Very much like badass woman, like, she's coming to get you.
Yeah. I put two down and it was Silver Flames.
Okay, yeah.
Of course, I kind of put Throne of Glass series, but, like, when you really start to see it is Queen of Shadows.
Yeah.
It's our girl, Aelin.
I feel like any, like, really badass, like, female character, like, especially in, like, a fantasy book or, like, a murder book.
Yes.
About serial killers. Like, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me is, like, such, like, a fucking, like, fuck you kind of song.
Yes.
And it could, like, Mad Woman is also, like, one of those songs where, like.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Okay, so I just combined, so I'm just gonna jump. I Knew You Were Trouble. I fucking loved that song.
Yeah.
Again, explicitly remember where I was when I first listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a mafia romance, if you will, mafia romance would fit this, or like anything, like a morally gray character
Yeah.
I kind of took like one step back and went a little bit more lighter and not like so bad boy. I went more of like, I'm thinking like flew me to places that I've never been. So I'm thinking rich guy, like one of those. So I went Deal with the Devil because like,
ooh, okay.
They tend to like, they don't like each other, but they'd like each other. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, they're kind of not like the nicest to one another, but he kind of like wines and dines her. So
yeah.
He's a bad guy.
No, but I feel like and that song is just like fun in general. Like, I don't think it's meant to be taken like
literally. It's like, if you want to go literal, think mafia romance or morally gray character. If you want like the lighter bop version, A Deal with the Devil.
Yeah. And like that, honestly, like the devil series by Elizabeth O'Rourke is just so good. Like all four books are just so fun. Exactly. Like they're just so fun.
Exactly.
So the next one I have is Honey off the new album. And I put Wild Eyes by, oh my God, Elsie Silver.
I was going to say, are you doing the Elsie Silver one? Do you see me? I'm like, go.
You're like, come on.
Say it.
And it reminded me of that book because obviously we have, oh my, what's her name? Sloan? Scarlett?
Sloan.
Is it Sloan?
I think so. Sure.
I mean, what did we just say in the beginning of the episode, you guys? Like, we're not going to, like, remember. Which is, like, so funny because, like, I'm like, oh, it's one of my favorite Elsie Silver books. And I'm like, yeah.
What's her name?
Weston Belmont. And Skylar. Skylar Stone. That's the thing. I always say Sloan because of Stone. Okay. Skylar is a pop star. People, like, the whole thing is, like, people are, like, constantly, like, are they like they're being nicer just because she's a pop star, or like they're talking behind her back, or they're talking shit, or being condescending and patronizing, blah, blah, blah. She escapes and she meets this like wonderful man who calls her honey. Like, and he can, because he's not saying it in a patronizing way like everybody else. Like, all these people call me sweetheart and this and this and this, but like it's because like they're being condescending.
Yes, they're being assholes.
Yeah. And Weston is not.
He is not. He's an angel sent from heaven.
He is an angel sent from heaven.
He also has big dick energy. Anywho.
He could also be wood if he wanted to.
Exactly. I picked two books for Elizabeth Taylor. And I just love that song. The first time I listened to that track, I was like, yep.
Yeah.
The two I picked were Seven Husbands and Great Big Beautiful Life.
I was going to guess those two.
Yeah. I feel like it just gives that kind of energy. I know Seven Husbands could be used also for, there was like a couple... Because of course, like I've like started to like Google around like certain things, like try to pick things to go together. And Seven Husbands came up for a couple of her books. I'm like, no, like that's Elizabeth Taylor, 110%. And then of course, Great Big Beautiful Life, from like the older woman's standpoint, looking back at like her life.
And then my last, which like it's probably just because like I'm currently reading it, but I also think that in general, a lot of songs on the Midnights album remind me of A Court of Mist and Fury.
Yeah.
So I'm currently listening to the graphic audio, and like, so I picked Mastermind because like a lot of like, specifically for Reese, not so much like Reese and Feyre, but I mean the same thing. I just listened to chapter 54. So like the whole like, when he's like, he sees like, like human hands painting, and he pushes an image of the night sky, and then when he finally meets her, the whole like, I've been looking for you, and how he has to like block his, like, you know, put up the wall so that nobody can read his mind and see that this human, this breakable human, is quite possibly his mate, and like how he has to mastermind the whole thing, like when he's under the mountain, and then even when he gets out from under the mountain, he has to mastermind the whole thing. Like, there's so much that he can and can't do, and this like facade that he needs to put up to protect himself and the people that he like cares most about. But I feel like you could also go like the Great War is like very ACOTAR coded, High Fidelity as well, I feel like can also fit them. But I just feel like Mastermind, especially just like listening to chapter 54, was just like, that's my boy Reese. And like every time I like read the book or I listen to the audio or like whatever, like I'm always just reminded of how much I love him.
He is fantastic.
I just like,
send me your list too, because I'm going to make a post for this.
I'm not even kidding. Part of my dream last night, I woke up and I was like, oh, I feel like Katie made a post. And like, I went on Canva. I was like, oh, I have to go update the Canva post. Like when I woke up.
That's so weird. I literally, when I was like doing this last night, when I started this, I was like, okay, I definitely want to do like a post for this. So we have it all out.
Well, I'll send you my list now. Okay. That's all I have. I mean, like, I feel like every time an album comes out, I think it's also, I know people don't, she has a lot of fans, obviously. She's like the biggest pop star in the world. I know a lot of people don't like her. And my sister-in-law is like not a fan, but she's like, doesn't like hate her either. She's just like, yeah, it's not her kind of music. And we were talking about it and I was like, I honestly like think that I love her so much because her songs like mostly tell stories. And I think as a reader, I love to relate things in my life to the books I'm reading or the books I'm reading to things in my life. So like there's all, I love when a book has a playlist or like a soundtrack, like, because I'm like, oh, okay. Like now I can be like, oh, I can understand more about what they're feeling and what's going on. Because in my own life, if I'm feeling a certain way, I'm going to put on certain music.
100%.
So anywho, that's our list.
Go us.
Go us. If you're listening to this on the 5th or anytime, I don't know. We might have an episode next week. We might not. So stay tuned. Like I said in last week's episode, we're not putting out a firm schedule because I will be living out of state for anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. So TBD. And if we do put out one, the quality might kind of be shit because I'll be recording on my phone. And just deal with it, okay?
Just be all right with it.
Just be all right with it. Soul Searching might be a book that we talk about. If we have time to record, that might be a book. Or we might just get on to chit chat and I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. Katie Jean, if you can do us the honors, I'd really appreciate it. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, suckers.